The Bible reading today is from Mark 1, verses 35 to 39. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons.
So as we've said already, today's the first Sunday of May Missions Month. It's a dedicated month where Baptists all around Australia focus on mission. Obviously, all year round, we are people who support mission and we are missionaries in our local context and where we live. But it's just in this specific month where we look at what it means to be missions, missionaries, and to support missions. And our focus is on mission for this month. And this year's theme is Alongsiders, as you can see up on the screen there. And it's explained a bit more fully in your newsletters, but if you go to the Baptist Mission Australia website, there's lots of resources and videos and things. We're going to share just some of them during our services over the next few weeks, but there's a lot more in there as well that I encourage you to look out for. Now, God doesn't need us to fulfill his purposes in his world, but he graciously invites us to mission. When we realize this, our eyes are opened to see the people that God has placed in our lives. People we are called to love, to share, and to bring the hope of Jesus to come alongside. But it begins with prayer. Australian Baptist mission work began with prayer. The church I was at before coming here to Hackham was Flinders Street Baptist in the city. And in the early 1860s, obviously quite a long time ago, the pastor at that church was called Silas Mead. And at this time, in the early 1860s, he was in his late 20s, so even younger than me, so there you go. But Silas called the congregation to come together for regular midweek prayer times, that they might see the vision that he had realised, that Australian Baptists would step out into intercultural mission around the world. Silas told them that if they were ever to achieve that vision, it must begin with prayer. They had recently built a beautiful, large church building, and I know some have seen it in person. It was a large building to call their permanent home, but resources were still limited, especially when it came to overseas mission. But this small group of people regularly gathered together week by week and prayed. And as time went on, their faith continued to rise. And they saw what God could do. And they knew that they needed absolute dependence on God. And Silas said to them that such an endeavor has to be birthed in prayer. And so as they prayed over the next few years, God raised up five women who felt called to overseas mission, who stepped out with great courage to serve in mission areas around the world. And that was the start of missionaries sent from Australian Baptists. A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, says that prayer is the engine room of mission. Mission and prayer are both birthed in the heart and the mind of God. Therefore, if we are to be effective in mission, we are to be a people of prayer. Over the next few weeks each week, in May Missions Month, we'll have a simple focus. And today, our first week, is that we are called to be people of prayer. We're called to be people of prayer. Remember that. If you remember it, you won't have to look at the screen. We follow Jesus' model of praying before stepping out, which is what Jos just read to us. Just those four simple verses. There we go. People of prayer. We follow Jesus' model of retreating before stepping out. I don't know if you've noticed, but Jesus often retreated in order to pray. Jesus intentionally and consistently made time to be in the powerful and formative presence of his Father, to cultivate his relationship with the Father, to align his life around God's kingdom and his purposes. We looked at the feeding of more than 5,000 people before Easter. And after Jesus performs this miracle or sign, he sends his disciples to go on ahead of him, while Jesus goes up on a mountainside to pray. After this is the walking on the Sea of Galilee. And between these two signs, which points to Jesus as the one who gives in abundance and the one who defeats all evil and death, Jesus took time out to pray. Another time is when Jesus is baptized. He prays then, and as he is praying, heaven opens. The Holy Spirit comes down and descends on him. And we hear the voice of the Father saying, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And so from that moment, Jesus' public ministry begins. And it began with prayer. And in today's passage, we again see this link between prayer and mission. Jesus retreats in prayer before he continues on with his mission. Very early in the morning, while it is still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, this isn't an early sunrise prayer time and the birds are starting their morning song. It's still pitch black. And there are no streetlights in first century Galilee. It's pitch black and it's very, very quiet. Until Simon and the others find him, Jesus is alone. Now, 20 and 30 years before Jesus was baptized and started his public ministry, there were many Jewish men who claimed to be the Messiah. And these charismatic leaders rose up in Israel claiming to be the Jewish Messiah to liberate Israel from Gentile oppression and Roman occupation. They believed that by using military force to do this, that it would usher in the kingdom of God. And there was a whole series of these militant leaders all claiming to be the Messiah, the one sent from God, the king anointed by God. And the long story short is that they all failed. And these were happening when Jesus was a boy, around the same age as Henry or Zach, or maybe a little bit older. And so Jesus knew about these men who claimed to be the Messiah. And he even refers to them in John 10 as those who were thieves and robbers. Because that's exactly what they did as part of their military leadership. And even some of them, these actions were against their own Jewish people. And two of them are mentioned in Acts chapter 5, verses 36 and 37. I probably pronounced this incorrectly, but there's Theudas and Judas, the Galilean. But Jesus has this wonderful affirmation of his identity as the chosen one, God's son, at his baptism. But he consistently and constantly needs to retreat and pray. It is the opposite of these false messiahs who were always on the attack, going by their own agendas. But Jesus intentionally and consistently made time to be in the powerful and formative presence of his Father, to cultivate his relationship with his Father, to align his life around God's kingdom and purposes. Jesus, the true Messiah, prays. He then goes to nearby villages to preach and to heal, to bring life rather than death. And in all of life and in mission, we need to follow and hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. For in the book of Acts, prayer was central to the missionary work of the early church. They were responding to the call of Jesus when he said, "Wherever you go, make disciples of all nations." And they had the promise of Jesus that he would be with them always, right to the very end of the age. God's promised presence was with them. In Acts chapter 10, when Cornelius, the centurion in the Italian regiment, has a vision of an angel of God, it doesn't come out of the blue. He and all his family have been giving generously to those in need, and they regularly pray to God. And at the same time, a short while away, Peter has his own vision. He is up on a roof praying when he has his vision. And through this he sees how through Jesus, both Jew and Gentile are welcome into God's family on exactly the same terms. And so prayer is the link for this story of mission in Acts chapter 10, the making of disciples of all nations. And right at the beginning of Acts in chapter 1, verse 14, it says that the apostles, men and women, joined together constantly in prayer. They were united constantly in prayer. They had a unified team and structure so that when there were attacks and threats to divide, both from outside the church and from within, the focus was always on Jesus, who brings unity. And the same is true for us today, nearly 2,000 years on. There is the ever-present real possibility for our church to be divided. We can have different ideas and views, but we must stand united. For that is what Jesus wants for his church, whether here at Hackham or elsewhere in the world. And we too, like Jesus, need to intentionally and consistently make time to be in the powerful and formative presence of the Father, to cultivate our relationship with our Father, to align our lives around God's kingdom purposes, to retreat in prayer before stepping out in mission with the Spirit in us and with us. Because prayer empowers us for mission. Daz and B are Baptist Mission Australia intercultural workers. They are based in Southeast Asia and they are establishing a new cafe ministry there. They write that laying good foundations, as any builder will know, is the key to the longevity and sustainability of any building and structure. And this is a picture that God gave us for the new social enterprise cafe that we are establishing in Southeast Asia. And the picture God gave them is a brick wall and a spirit level. And spirit is with a capital S in their newsletter. A brick wall and a spirit level. And they go on to say that we could have rushed into opening a new cafe as soon as possible after the closure of the previous one. But it was important for us to learn from our previous experiences and to take those learnings and apply them to this new venture. We have really felt God impressing on us the importance of getting the foundations of this new ministry true and level. He is our spirit level. With each process, task, interaction, and dream, with each brick laid, we need to stop, take a moment and check. Is this right? Is this in line with what God is already doing here? Is this bringing him honour and glory? Is this what he has called us to do? Is this going to expand his kingdom? Are we operating with integrity? And these are the questions we are asking every step of the way. This business is not about us and what we can achieve. It is about God and what he will achieve. He is inviting us to join him. This approach takes time, but we know he is directing our path, and we trust that he is with us each step of the way. And so Daz and B are continuing in this practice of ongoing prayer, of retreating to pray and to listen for the voice of God. Just like Jesus did when praying first, then stepping out to preach and heal. to move in the power of the Spirit and join the Father in mission. The history of mission is a story of prayer. Mission locally and in other places. Because prayer opens us up to the power of the Holy Spirit. Prayer assists the integrity of our life and witness. Prayer keeps us humble and focused on Jesus. Prayer empowers us for mission because it changes our hearts and lives and helps us to become more and more like Jesus. Colossians 4, verse 2 to 6, instructs us to be devoted to prayer and that it should be watchful and thankful, opening doors for the gospel. And Paul writes, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." May notice that God is the one who opens the door. And Paul is writing in prison when he writes to the Colossians, so there's a double meaning of God opening doors, both for physical prison doors, but also spiritual doors. And it is a devotion to prayer that allows this to happen and changes lives and communities. Prayer changes our lives so that we continue to be formed as God's people. And as we looked at a couple of weeks ago, we are invited to participate in the life of the Trinity through prayer. There is a seat at the table ready for us, an invitation to join in with that conversation through prayer. And as we do so, our relationship with God grows. We become bolder and more humble and more courageous as the gospel is advanced and proclaimed. Prayer changes our communities as a power of God brings healing, repentance, and openness to the good news of Jesus. Because we are alongside us when we follow Jesus' example and model of retreating to pray before stepping out in service and mission in our own lives. And this doesn't necessarily mean that we approach every possible interaction with family and friends and neighbours with an evangelistic spiel in mind, but simply to pray so that we are open to seeing what God is already doing, where He is already at work. And so we are open to what God wants to do through us. Whether that's our neighbours in our streets, the regulars that we might see at the shops, those we work with or socialise with, and family. We need to pray before we step into those areas, to simply ask God to open a door. Pray that we might be wise in our relationships and interactions, to make the most of every opportunity. That our words will be full of grace and seasoned with the salt of the gospel. I may not have been around here quite long enough to share one of my pet peeves, but it is what can sometimes be called bumper sticker verses. It's usually one verse that is pulled out of the Bible and often out of context, and one of them on the screen, 2 Chronicles 7, but verse 14 in particular, can sometimes be one of those. And so I'm going to read a few verses surrounding that well-known verse in a minute. But this passage comes after the first temple is built under the leadership of Solomon. The temple is the place where God would live among the Israelites and the place where sacrifices will be made for the forgiveness of sins. And after this, the glory of the Lord fills the temple and the Israelites sing, "The Lord is good. His love endures forever." And the people then offer sacrifices, and verse 11 starts by saying that when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace. The Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek me, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. And so when trials come, it is not up to one particular person or a small group of people. The whole of the people who are called by the name of the Lord are to humble themselves and pray. Because prayer is never a standalone activity. We certainly have our own individual times of prayer, but like the idea of the prayer chain that we looked at earlier, we are linked together as the people of God. And that passage says that when God's people humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then God will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. As God says, my eyes are open and my ears are attentive to prayer. You may notice that this is collective and communal language of prayers and actions. We are alongsiders together, and being people of prayer is essential for revival and renewal of the church, as well as for the healing of the world, which is the ultimate goal of God's plan for his creation. For all that has been damaged and broken and stained through sin will one day be fully restored in the new creation. So for this May Missions Month, let's take time to be still and to pray, to listen and to be alongside us as we join in with God and his mission for our world. For we are empowered by the Spirit. God's presence is with us always. It isn't restricted to particular places or times, but as followers of Jesus, we have been given the gift of the ever-present indwelling of the Spirit. We are alongside us because Jesus, through Jesus, we know that God is a God who is alongside us on our journeys. We are alongside us together. Let's pray. Father, we join with those Israelites all those years ago in praising you and worshipping you, because you are good and your love endures forever. This May Missions Month, we pray that you open doors for the gospel. We pray for all the intercultural workers serving through Baptist Mission Australia. We pray for ourselves at Hacken Baptist Family Church. Help us to not march on with our own agendas that are often the opposite to who you are and what you want. Make us alongside us who are people of prayer. Remind us to follow Jesus in all that we do, for his glory, and in his name that we pray. Amen. I'm just going to leave this next slide on the screen just for a minute, and I encourage you to write down at least one of these and talk about it with someone this week. I certainly invite you to maybe even take a photo of it, and you can discuss all of them, which would be fantastic, but maybe there is one at the moment that particularly stands out to you. And if you can't quite get a photo or jot it down in time, send me an email and I'm happy to forward that on to you or text it to you. And these are just some of the suggested questions that Baptist Mission Australia have come out of today's focus. For we are called to be people of prayer.